the Freedom Riders crowd around a cardboard box, eager with anticipation. The first shipment of the new book has arrived, and they're about to hold the 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Riders Diary for the first time.
It's okay, guys, we got a professional.
Twenty-something years in,
man, I pick up a book and I just look at the cover and I just hold it and I just start jumping up and down crazy like, oh my God, oh my God, you thought I won the lottery. It's a proud moment.
Feeling that in my hands and flipping through the pages to look and realize how far I've come. We were the kids that weren't expected to survive. We were the kids that weren't expected to graduate. And here we are. Our story keeps on going.
It's pretty amazing to think that we are still going after 20 years. I remember when the book first came out, the excitement, and it just keeps snowballing, getting bigger and bigger.
That kid that read the book back in 1999 when it first came out, who's now an adult, can pick up this book and go, hey, I remember this book. I loved this book when I was a kid. And now maybe they can read some of those extra stories and relate to them as an adult. Maybe we can still help that kid one more time.
You already know and love the voices of the Freedom Riders, that group of students from Wilson High School who learned to overcome their adversity through storytelling. With the love and guidance of their teacher, Aaron Gruel, and the power of this beautiful, unconventional family they created, they transformed their lives, became best-selling authors, and are now the leaders of a global movement. In the last 20 years, they visited schools and organizations in all 50 U.S. states, 20 countries, and counting. Everywhere they go, they spread love and hope and empower people to write their own stories and share their truth with the world. As I learn more about Aaron and the Freedom Riders' work, I wonder if their impact can actually be defined and replicated. What is the Freedom Riders' legacy? How are they passing the torch to the next generation? And what can we do to carry it forward for the next 20 years and beyond? This is Freedom Rider 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Riders podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Riders' Diary. I'm your host, Bryce Cyrier, and I'm honored to be on this journey with you as we discover the real stories behind the 20th anniversary edition of the book. We'll hear from Aaron Gruel, the Freedom Riders, and even some of the Freedom Riders' children, following up on the stories from Wilson High School and shining a light on the Freedom Riders' legacy for a new generation. This is episode 5, Passing the Torch. So, Aaron, as we start to wrap up our reflections for this mini-series, I'd love for you to tell the story about Meep Geese visiting your students. How did Meep pass the torch of Anne Frank's legacy to the Freedom Riders, and how are the Freedom Riders still carrying that torch today?
When the Freedom Riders read The Diary of Anne Frank, and she doesn't make it, what resonated was her words made it. Her words were legacy. And in honor of her words and in honor of her legacy, We wrote to the simple secretary, Meep Geese, who had hid Anne Frank all those years ago, to learn her story. And when she came, she saw something in my students that she saw in Anne. I believe she saw possibility and potential, promise, and most importantly, hope. When she was with us, there was this feeling of passing the baton, passing a torch that was lit, and it burned brightly. And I think she wanted to ignite something in each and every one of my students. I think the Freedom Riders realized, with this book being so widely read, Anne Frank's story lived on. Could their story live on? Could they have a legacy?
The Freedom Rider legacy to me is priceless. It's a gift that you can't buy in the store. It has to come with experience. It has to come with love. And it definitely has to come with nurturing.
We have touched so many people's lives throughout the years. You know, sometimes I would sit back and like, I didn't even realize the impact that it has. It's pretty awesome that our little high school class was able to create something so huge and for something like this to continue.
Who would have known that we would still be doing this after 20 years? So who would have known that we were gonna inspire kids? Because being a Freedom Rider is actually being someone. To me, it's someone special.
The book is still changing, it's still evolving. The original stories are there, but we keep adding to it, and it keeps growing and changing, and it's something that can continually be used, and we can still be here trying to help do something good.
To be able to motivate the person out there who was feeling the same way I was back in high school, that's huge for me. All we want is to contribute to our world, to our community, to our society.
On our fifth and final episode, we explore the impact of the Freedom Riders movement. We seek to identify the core tenets of their legacy, and above all, we celebrate the work and worth of these noble individuals. I want to know, what is the foundation of this cause? What are the principles that guide it and the values that drive it? Within the overall picture of the 20 new stories, how did Aaron and the Freedom Riders decide to end the 20th anniversary edition? How did they hope to send off the readers into the world? What is their invitation to us, and are we ready to answer the call? As I reflect on the many hours I've spent sitting knee to knee with these extraordinary people, I know it'll be difficult to sum it all up, their words of wisdom, honesty, and empowerment. But I know, in true Freedom Rider fashion, we can figure it out together. All that after the break.
Hello, I'm Erin Gruel, and I'm so grateful for the generosity and support of Waldorf University, our proud sponsor of this exciting miniseries, Freedom Rider 2020. Not only is Waldorf's mission aligned with our student-centered methodology, the Freedom Riders and I are blessed to personally know their passionate educators and respect their commitment to academic excellence. They've hosted me at their esteemed campus, and in turn, we've welcomed two of their own at our teacher institutes. Dr. Robert Alsop, the university president, and Dr. Frieda Braddock, the program director of graduate education, are both cherished members of our Freedom Rider Teacher Network. We love them like family and trust them to humbly serve their students. I know that many of you listeners are fellow educators. The truth is, as teachers, we spend countless hours and our own resources to serve our beloved students, which leaves little room for advancing our own education. Many of you may want or even need that additional certification or that master's degree, but think, how can I afford the time and the cost? If you're looking for a way to advance in your teaching career without putting your career on hold or breaking your piggy bank, Waldorf University's online Master of Education degree is perfect for you. With two concentrations available, either leadership or teaching and learning, the master's program is completely online with terms starting every single month. That way, you can choose what's best for you and your schedule while continuing to engage, enlighten, and empower your students. To learn more about Waldorf University's Master of Education program, simply go to waldorf.edu/freedomriders or click on the link in this episode's show notes.
One of my favorite things about the Freedom Riders Foundation office is that Freedom Riders regularly swing by the house unannounced, and they often bring their kids. Most of these Freedom Rider babies, as Miss G calls them, are quickly growing up. They're in high school now and applying for college, and some of them have even started college already.
My original story I wrote about how my parents didn't support me.
This is Yadira, one of the Freedom Riders I get to see frequently, along with her family.
My parents did not know why it was important to go to college. They were very negative. And so now going into 20 years, I wanted to make that into a positive note. I got into more of why they didn't support me. And now the reason why I want to be there for my kids. I want to turn that around where my parents' negatives become a positive in my kids' future.
What did you decide to write about for the 20th anniversary edition?
I knew what I wanted to write about, so as we were brainstorming and having meetings and making all these notes, it was fun because I even had my son there and my girls next to me, so it was exciting now to be able to share that with them. It's not just my story, but it's my kids' story as well.
Yadira's son, Raudel, has worked at the foundation all throughout high school, so we have the privilege of knowing him very well here. But I wanted to take this chance to learn some new things about where he's at in his life right now.
My name is Raudel, and my mom is a Freedom Rider. When I think of my mom, she's like pretty hardworking. Once she has her mind to something, she sticks to it, and she tries to put that on us too. Always go beyond what you think you can do.
Raudel has always known, ever since he was in elementary school, that he wanted to study medicine. He's always talked about becoming a doctor, and I always told him, you know, to become a doctor, it's gonna be a long years, you're gonna be in school forever. Don't let anyone bring you down. If that's what you want, you keep reaching out for your dreams. And that's what he's doing. He did his research and he knew where he wanted to go.
So I kind of wanted to be just a general practitioner doctor. I like how much they can do for others and help people. So now I'm going to Cal State Long Beach and see where it goes from there.
What's it like for you, Raudel, to be the first in your family to go to college?
Yeah, being the first is kind of scary because my parents don't really know what to do. They have an idea, and so do I, and my guess is as good as theirs, but it's like a spotlight's on me because I know my sisters also want to be in the medical field just like me.
My husband and I are there for him, but it's nerve-wracking for us because neither my husband or I went to college. I have to go and get help because I don't know how to fill out proper paperwork, and I want to be able to help him. And I know that he comes to the foundation and asks for help. It means a lot, and it's going to be easier. But I'm there. I take him to appointments. He just had his orientation recently, and we were there. And I know it's not going to be easy for him or for us, but that's not going to stop me. I know he has it down.
My parents pushed me by reminding me, hey, did you do your FAFSA? Hey, did you apply for grants? Hey, did you apply for scholarships? It was cool because even though they didn't know that much, they still helped me. And now I can show my sisters when they apply. Take some of that pressure that my sisters are going to have. And yeah, kind of be like my mom then.
He will be the first one in our family to actually have a certificate from college or from a university and be someone very important, which I know he will be. So when I pass that torch to my kids, I want them to grab onto it tight, get an education, have a career that you like, and follow in their dreams.
We made it, and without them, it would have been way harder than it is now. So I just want to thank them. I want them to share my experience as well. I want them to feel proud that they raised someone good.
I have the chance today to talk with Melanie, Carlos's daughter, who just started her freshman year of college.
I'm at Cal State Long Beach right now. I'm studying chemistry. And honestly, it's very difficult and stressful, but I just push through. I always think about the future long term. Growing up, I've always been motivated to reach my goals. And if I do fail, I'll probably keep trying because I never give up.
I love to see how determined Melanie is. And I see the same goal-driven grit in her older sister.
I am Sophia. I am 19 years old, and I am a junior in college. I am majoring in biology. I am wanting to become a vet, a surgical vet. And it's really hard, but I'm the type to constantly think, okay, what's my next step? What am I going to do? I just want to be happy, genuinely happy with myself and what I do.
As a child of a Freedom Rider, how do you feel about the 20th anniversary of the Freedom Rider's Diary?
I just find it very fascinating, and everybody has a story. You can't just judge a book by its cover, assume that they're just okay just because they come in with a smile. Obviously, my dad had a rough life and his past as well. And I just think it's very interesting how they put their thoughts into their writings and their stories to still be told. It's not like they just forgot about it. And I think it's pretty dope that my dad was an author in it. I support every move he does, and I'm always going to be here for my dad because he's always been there for me, and he's helped me so much in school, by pushing me to try my hardest, and it just all worked out in the end.
When I ask the Freedom Riders what they think is most important for their kids to know, they often say, the power of education. And I truly see that manifest in their families, just like in Raudel and Yadira and Melanie and Carlos's stories. The Freedom Riders are paving the path for their children to follow and empowering them to make their own choices for their future. In writing the 20 new stories, Aaron and the Freedom Riders knew they had to capture this spirit, the value of education and its power to change lives.
I work in the field of education, not as a teacher, but I provide a gang prevention program.
This is Jessica, a Freedom Rider who has dedicated her life to serving the rising generation.
Our program's called My Gang Free Life. I deal with second, fourth, and sixth grade students. And we go into the school providing 6 to 8 week lessons, trying our best to connect with the kids and giving them not just the consequences of being in a gang, but also providing them the tools that they can utilize. They can choose other paths for their life and come back and mold their community.
What's your story about in the 20th anniversary edition?
My story is number 19, and it has to do with my struggles as a writer and how I have grown from not being able to write not a single sentence in that diary entry to somehow, some way, writing my dissertation.
I know you just completed your doctorate of education. What did you decide to write your dissertation about?
I got the opportunity to focus on the Freedom Riders and how this person, Aaron Gruel, Miss G, helped us, helped us build our confidence, providing a nurturing environment for us to grow as people. She provided opportunities for freedom riders to help one another. She did that not only through our high school years, but also as adults. And that's why I wanted to focus my dissertation on that topic, because it was close to my heart. I was one of them, you know. I've had a lot of doors shut in my face, but I've also had a lot of doors open. I had a lot of people help me get to where I'm at now. And I hope that this book and the latest stories allow them to see that it's okay to feel vulnerable. That vulnerability is actually a strength.
Jessica's the director of gang prevention for the Gang Alternatives Program in the Los Angeles area. It's so inspiring to see how she and other freedom riders are building on what they learned in Room 203 to serve in their communities today. I once heard Aaron say, "Education is like the wind that allows the freedom riders to fly. As they continue to overcome challenges and pursue their dreams, the world can see them soar."
I've known that I wanted to be a doctor since I was in high school. I took an anatomy class and I realized that I had a passion for learning about the human body, about how it functions and just how amazing it is overall.
This is Norma.
And so I thought, okay, this is the path I want to take. But after high school, I couldn't go to college because of my circumstances at the time. My parents brought me here legally. I was just a baby. And so this is the home I knew. And not being able to go to college right after was devastating to me. And so I let it go. I got married, had kids, and I thought, okay, it's kind of tough to go back to school when you're already a mom. I honestly didn't even think it was possible. I almost scratched it off as, you know, that ship has sailed, until I realized, no, it hasn't. You know, I can go back, I can still do this. So now to be able to think that I'm so close to it, after I've had to go through so much, not just becoming legal at this point, now I had other roadblocks, now I had kids, I lost my dad, and I had this major accident, and all these hurdles that I had to go over to get where I am now. I'm fortunate enough to have a husband that was very supportive and good kids. They were so encouraging, like, for me to take the MCAT. I walked into the office where I studied and I saw on my whiteboard, you know, "Good luck, Mom," you know, for my little 10-year-old. The day I went to take the MCAT, my son called me into the room and he's like, "Mom, let's pray." And he actually prayed, "God, you know, I wish that you would be with my mom all day long while she's taking the MCAT." So a lot of support. And to see that they are so excited about it, it encourages me and it motivates me to keep going.
For a lot of kids who don't believe in glass slippers, who don't believe that the good guy makes it, our story's just that. There are happy endings. It comes with grit and hard work and determination. But we wanted the last story, when the reader closed that book, to feel, and to feel deeply, to not only shed a tear, but to have those tears feel like a triumph, to root for the good guy, to have empathy and understanding. And we wanted that to come across with each and every word and each and every story. It's a love letter to education. It's a love letter to the nobility of teaching, to someone having the strength and tenacity to pull themselves up, to go back. Education doesn't have to be a sprint. Education, sometimes in its best form, is the marathon. We love that education allowed them to soar.
This love of learning is at the very heart of the Freedom Riders' legacy. The fact that education is ongoing, that education is more than what happens at school. It's a way of life. The Freedom Riders model the continuing effort it requires to keep learning and growing. What matters is the level of commitment to the cause. In fact, that's what first inspired the idea of writing the 20th anniversary edition of their book. Wanting to remind the world where they started, show them how far they've come, and project where they're still striving to go. So the book's finished. It's out in the world. What do you hope readers can take away from this new edition?
When this process started, it was one teacher and 150 kids. I wanted them to read. I wanted them to write. I wanted them to be storytellers. And I think all these years later, it's still the same. I want people to read and to get lost in the pages. I want people to write their own story. If their story is not contained within the pages of our book, then it's up to you to pick up a journal and write your own story. We're all storytellers, so I hope that each and every one of our readers can be a storyteller themselves, because we all have a story to share. We all need to tell what needs to be told.
I want for the readers to see the progression. I want them to pay attention to the continuity. I want them to see how these stories are real.
What I would like to see readers get out of this is inspiration to motivate them to write about their life, to write about their stories.
Hopefully it'll change their perspective. Hopefully it'll change who they are on the inside. Hopefully they can see they can be better people.
We know that it's part of a bigger picture. It's part of a bigger movement. So it's not about us. It's about those who are going to read it, those lives that we're going to touch, the future generations to come.
I want to show people that we still are struggling. Life isn't perfect, but we have each other to support one another. We're not going through this alone. No one should go through any hardship alone. They should be supported and they should be loved unconditionally.
We may stumble, but we keep going and we keep marching forward. And I think that that has always been our message. There's hope for the students that think they won't survive. There's hope for the people that think it's not worth it. There's always hope for everyone.
I'm just really excited for everyone to see the new book and to read our new stories.
I open a box and take out a new copy of the 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Writer's Diary. It still has all the original diary entries, those first stories that we're also familiar with from the book, the movie, and the documentary. There's the epilogue, and then the first follow-up stories from the 10th anniversary edition. And now I finally come to the 20th anniversary stories. Nearly 100 additional pages of honest, raw, emotional stories portraying the realities of life and the beauty of sharing your truth. I think about the first time I read the book, the first time I watched the movie, and what these stories made me feel. Inspiration, compassion, connection. A desire to do good and to be a little better every day. As I turn to the acknowledgments, I see the list of names. 150 freedom writers, all of them authors, heroes, and the founders of this movement. Reflecting on everything I've learned from them over the years, I don't just see names. I see faces, I see families, and I hear their words. And in that moment, it all comes into focus for me. The torch they are passing is education, and the flame is the power of words, the power of stories to change the world.
I often feel that we have these meep geese moments when the Freedom Writers get to visit classrooms where students read their book, their words on a page. Students write letters to Freedom Writers, and Freedom Writers get on a plane, step into a classroom, step into their reality. And exactly what happened with meep geese and my students, Freedom Writers then get to pass the baton. Freedom Writers get to light a torch. Freedom Writers get to ignite that passion and that spark. And I think that's so beautiful that we're paying it forward, that we're trying to follow in the footsteps of those that came before us. And I often think of the Freedom Writers as our stories evolved, our family has grown and evolved. There are children, infants, all the way to teenagers. And we're now celebrating the next generation of scholars, of Freedom Writers, graduating, Freedom Writers wanting to pursue higher education, and the road has been paved by their parents. The Freedom Writer family truly is busting at the seams. It is full of joy and anticipation. So I just love that our Freedom Writer family continues to grow and our heart expands with each and every new member. I would have never envisioned this in my wildest dreams when I walked into room 203 all those years ago, that my students would continue to be writers, writing because it matters, writing because they have to, writing because they want someone else to write what they need to write. And it was more than any teacher could ever expect.
This is something positive for everyone, especially raising two daughters. I want to make sure that they get a great education. I want to make sure that I'm in their lives. I want to make sure that I do everything in my power to be able to help them and be there for them. I lived a totally different life. I mean, I didn't have a mom or a dad to help me out or to give me guidance. I think God sent an angel to our class, and that was Miss G.
Miss G is amazing. And she's close to my dad because that's like her son. She gives me a lot of good advice and tries to lead me to the right path.
20 years later, we're still calling each other brothers and sisters. We're meeting each other's children. We're supporting each other's children.
These Freedom Riders are my family. To have such a group of people, it's absolutely priceless.
The Freedom Riders has helped me be more outspoken and pass that on to my daughters. I want them to have a voice, be able to express themselves and not be afraid to speak out.
I feel like my daughter now being the next generation of the Freedom Rider legacy, I hope that she's able to see that anything's possible. When you are educated, it empowers you. It ignites you to have a passion. And all the stories in this book were made for her.
When I have kids of my own, I want to tell them about their grandma and all the Freedom Riders and all that and what they did.
You remember Rodell, your dearest son.
And they probably won't believe me, but then I'll give them a book that'll show them what life was like and what she did, and I'll tell them my story, and maybe down the line they'll tell their kids and so on and so forth.
My last question for you, Aaron, is a simple one. How have you been personally impacted by these amazing individuals, your students, your family, the Freedom Riders?
I'm constantly humbled by their strength, their determination, their courage, their resilience. I often feel that my heart is going to leap out of my chest. I'm so proud. I'm so honored. I'm so moved by who they become. The scholar Margaret Mead said an incredible quote that I'd love to share with our audience, and that was, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." I think the Freedom Riders are those thoughtful, committed citizens, and they are indeed changing the world, one word at a time.
So what is the Freedom Riders' legacy? It's family. It's education. It's the power of words and the potential of storytelling to lead to healing, growth, and a fulfilled life. Aaron and the Freedom Riders are examples of love, light, and helping others discover their own voices. It's been 20 years since their book was first published, and they're still here, still serving and spreading hope to everyone that needs it. I know they'll be here in another 20 years, and hopefully 20 more after that. Theirs is a living and breathing story, and it will continue to evolve as the years go on. Now that we are witnesses of their truth, may we honor their voices and live in such a way that allows everyone's stories to be heard and celebrated across the world. Aaron Gruwell and the Freedom Riders received this proverbial torch from the heroes they met while at Wilson High School. And now, they're passing it on to us. Now, it's our turn. That concludes our final installment of Freedom Rider 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Riders podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Riders Diary. On behalf of Aaron Gruwell and the Freedom Riders, I want to thank each of you for listening. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey and for supporting the Freedom Riders in their work. Remember to get your new copy of the 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Riders Diary, available now wherever books are sold. If you'd like the chance to win a free copy signed by Aaron and the Freedom Riders, don't forget to enter our limited-time Freedom Riders Diary giveaway through Penguin Random House. You can follow the link in this episode's show notes to sign up before September 12th. This episode was executive produced by Aaron Gruwell, co-produced by Rob Falk, and written, produced, and edited by me, your host, Bryce Sirier. If you haven't yet, we invite you to subscribe to the Freedom Riders podcast and stay tuned every other Monday for our regular slate of episodes, hosted by Aaron Gruwell. We look forward to staying connected with you and bringing you more meaningful content. In the meantime, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.